Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast and our Circle coverage, our coverage of The Circle. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and we're here to talk about season four of The Circle US on Netflix. It's really like the eighth or tenth season of The Circle, probably in total, but the fourth one of these Netflix US versions. And we're going to talk about the first four episodes of The Circle season four. Lots of fours here, but three of us tonight, or whenever you're listening to this, to talk about it. With me is Amy. How you doing, Amy?
Circle message. So excited to be talking to you about Circle Four today. As an actual children's author, like Frank, I've been screaming very loudly for the last week as I've been watching the episodes. So hashtag book emoji, hashtag laughing crying emoji, and send. Just so excited to talk to you guys about this season. It's going to be awesome.
Yes, it's always fun to talk about The Circle. I feel like it comes pretty often, but it's always quick enough that it's like you can have fun with it. Also with me here to talk about The Circle is Matt. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good. I 100% agree. I feel like every time we turn around, there's a new season. And this is the fourth one. It just started. Like,
I know, right?
I know that the pandemic did a number on all of us, but I could have sworn that like the first season, you like look back at the cast list and stuff and you're like, wait, who won that? Who was on that? Like that person was that's a while ago. It's crazy.
It really was, wasn't it? The Circle season one, 2020, January 2020. So. Yeah. So basically like two a year, it's kind of been the...
Which is like not the
well,
wildest.
Not really.
Well,
I don't know.
It's a bit like popcorn, isn't it? Like you can just eat it and eat it and consume and consume and consume, and then you forget all about it.
Yeah.
And then you open a new bag and you eat that and you forget all about it. So yeah,
Especially with the release schedule of like four episodes a week. I guess that's maybe a little bit better than like all at once where you really forget about it, but I don't know. It maybe not. It's definitely a strange little show that continues to capture the attention here of an audience. We are a bit late in doing this this podcast. We many of us were in New York last week, myself included, and so I did not have the opportunity to watch the episodes, let alone podcast about them, until unfortunately shortly before the next batch of episodes will be out. But I've been getting a lot of people like, where's The Circle coverage, Tara? And I'm like, sorry. We're here now. And after this, we will have regularly scheduled, probably weekend drops here of Circle coverage for each batch of four episodes that we are going to be watching and talking about. So let's talk about season four here. The first four episodes, it feels like this is because of how many like spin-off Circle seasons I've watched, this one feels like the Circle like Spice Girls edition. Based on these first four episodes.
I mean, I'm not mad about it, but I was not prepared that we were about to spice up our lives for this brief period of time. I mean, it's you never know when that's going to come and hit you, but yeah, this came out of nowhere. And I mean, it's a twist that I'm not upset about. It adds, you know, a celebrity edition element to it here that, I mean, we've had a famous person or somewhat famous person in the house in the Circle before, but this is very different, and I don't hate it.
You're talking about Ed's brother,
I
right?
I love it.
Yeah. Mitchell?
Yeah, think so.
No, there was the Lance Bass's assistant. That was like the season 2 ago.
Yeah.
That's the famous adjacent.
Yeah, good one.
I'm sure I've missed somebody else. Yeah.
Amy, you love it. You love the Spice Girls.
I love the twist. I just think it's awesome. And the second I saw them walking down the corridor, I started screaming. My kids were looking at me like, what is going on? I think having Spice Girls is a whole other level of celebrity. I mean, who's Lance Bass? I've got no idea. But I just think it brings that kind of excitement. And I feel like it really, the Circle US has really hit its stride now. I think the first three seasons were great. I enjoyed them. Don't get me wrong. I definitely binged all of them. But I feel like now with the casting and then this little celebrity twist, it's made it really fun. And I'm really, really enjoying it. Even without the twist, I was very high on this cast. I think they're really interesting and quirky and funny. And they make me laugh out loud pretty regularly. But then you throw in these kind of mega, mega superstars and, you know, superstars that don't come across as sort of jaded or old or faded at all. I think that Emma and Mel B still can pull off that kind of Spice Girls vibe, the screaming and the, you know, the way the banter that they've got, the chemistry they've got between each other is still hilarious as it was when they were in their 20s. And so I love it. I just think this is the best season so far for me of The Circle. I feel like the show really has figured out where it fits in terms of being a strategic game, but at the same time something that's fun and a bit lighter and a bit more, as I say, kind of popcorn consuming than some of the other reality TV shows. So I think it's awesome.
Okay, so I don't know a lot about the Spice Girls.
Shocked reactions coming in.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I recognize some of the songs, but, you know, I don't know a ton about it. So I have a question, which is, they're from the UK. There was a UK version. Now, maybe there's not anymore, and maybe that's the reason. Why are there UK celebrities in the American version? I know they were big in the US, but
it's the Spice Girls. They're
ubiquitous enough that it doesn't matter. Is the thing? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, One Direction is.
People are throwing
tomatoes at me for comparing One Direction to the Spice Girls, but that's my where I was raised. A group born in the UK that they're just global. It's the Spice Girls. So you said. Not there anymore in the UK.
I mean, they're just huge. They were, so I think when their first album came out, I was actually at uni, so I was slightly too old to be able to admit that I liked the Spice Girls. So I was a closet Spice Girls fan because they were really appealing to sort of the teens and the younger girls. But they were a worldwide phenomenon. I mean, you just didn't have bands like that in that time. They were the first girl band really ever to have any kind of success. And it was such a global success that I actually saw them on a plane when I was on a flight to New Zealand. They were flying first class. In real life, they are exactly like what you see on the TV, noisy, funny. They walk into a room and they just kind of take over the whole room. And they were on this flight because they had flown from London to Melbourne in Australia to appear at some random shopping centre in the suburbs. They did 15 minutes on the stage. They had to shut down the shopping centre because there were so many crowds of kids there. And then they flew back to the UK. That's how big they were. They were massive. So I think they could appear on any version, really, of The Circle in any country in the world, and it would be huge.
Well, I mean, it certainly seems to have struck a chord with many of the players in the Circle, apart from, you know, Alex, a.k.a. Nathan, who is, I believe he Alex does know who the Spice Girls are, but he's pretending to not
Nathan
know
can't.
Because Nathan shouldn't know, I believe but everybody else pretty much knows, like, probably has better knowledge than even I would of the Spice Girls here.
You wouldn't have been like, who's that? Like, you
no, I wouldn't have been like, who's the Spice Girl? I would have just been like, oh, that's cool. Like, I wouldn't have known their names or anything, you know,
which is, you know, it's fine. I mean, or maybe not, but I think this is really fun. I think, like Amy said, this is a big get for them. This is, you know, a great way to start their season. You know, The Circle's back on Netflix, coming in, you know, strong. I didn't see the previews, but I imagine that they would have had them in them to promote the show, to say, we have the Spice Girls here for season 4 of The Circle. Make sure you're watching it. And as we see at the end of episode four, we don't know that they're going to be around on the season much longer, which is disappointing. I feel like they're already here. Like, I mean, the Circle doesn't take, you know, forever to film. They could have made it like the full week or two to see how they actually do in the game. And just imagine like they didn't tell anybody. And then you have like, say, Rachel has the Spice Girls walk into her room.
God, I so wish they
like,
did that.
Because you know the producers would have set that up, like, the, you know, the, to make sure that the meeting was for the right person. Just imagine that. And like the moment that Rachel would have had the rest of her life if that's the case. But either way, you know, whatever their contract is, whatever they're, you know, they're doing here, I think it's been fun.
Yeah, I wonder how long these first four episodes took place.
It feels like 3 days, if that.
Is that, yeah, I mean, even 3 days is a long time.
Twice. Yeah.
To get two Spice Girls, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't know what they're up to nowadays, but like, you know, they couldn't even get Lance Bass on for more than like a, you know, 30-second cameo.
Mel C was on Dancing with the Stars last season or the season before, so they're, you know, bopping around to these different.
How come Dancing with the Stars gets all these big people? But like games like this, the Circle can't. What's going on?
I don't know. Tyra Banks has got some pull.
I guess I didn't know Tyra Banks was on Dancing with the Stars.
There we go.
All right,
well, they didn't get the two biggest Spice Girls. I mean,
oh no,
you know, no. I mean, they're probably the most iconic ones, Scary and Baby. When you think about the look of the Spice Girls when they were at their peak, but if you think about ultimate success, Jerry Halliwell is married to a you know, Formula One team principal, and Posh is, you know, married to David Beckham. So they're the two pinnacle Spice Girls who still have ongoing success. So in some ways, they kind of got the leftover Spice Girls, but it's still a pretty massive get.
I will say, I feel like if I were to recognize any of the names, it would be Mel B.
Okay.
Would you recognize
any of their Spice names?
Posh is the one that stood out the most.
Okay.
But I don't know.
I feel like Baby Spice is the one that I always like. If you asked me to name one of them when I was like younger, what is it, Baby Spice?
This is
Amy's miserable.
I'm really glad that Amy's here because if we didn't have any, like, I'm so sorry to the Spice Girl. Like, I don't want this to just be a we don't know anything about the Spice Girls podcast.
We'll just start a circle chat with Nathan and with Jared, the real Jared.
Yeah.
Who didn't know much about them either.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about these episodes. Well, let's talk about the cast first. We'll talk about the cast as a means of talking about the episodes. And of course, as you've probably already noted, this is, you know, we're again talking about all four episodes of the first four. So we will be revealing anything that was revealed in the first four episodes. I don't think any of us have seen or know what will happen beyond these first four episodes. So you can remain spoiler free for that. But we will be talking about these first four episodes. So let's talk about the cast here. We're going to start with the only person that has been blocked so far, who is Paul or Parker, whichever one you want to call him. Parker, who is catfishing as her father, Paul, and did not do a great job. Classic catfish sort of trope of making a very bland character. She clearly had no idea how to play, you know, a 50-year-old dude, even though he was her father. And it seemed like maybe there was some potential here when she started actually speaking with people one-on-one, but it seemed like maybe a little too late at that point. What'd you think about Parker, Amy?
Oh, she came out of the gate all wrong. So the initial profile image, she could have used her dad's personality, but the pictures were all wrong. I mean, there was no one that was going to believe that guy, you know, who basically looked like some sort of model Hollywood celebrity type, was some 50-something-year-old dad with happily married. You know, she should have gone with a overweight, balding, sort of more approachable looking dad, a classic kind of dad bod type, to set up her profile pic. I think the profile pic immediately just was raising alarm bells for everybody. And from then on, she was on the back foot and she was never able to really establish any connections because nobody believed her. from the very start.
Yeah, could not tell that that some people like John / Carol did not believe. Like every other confessional or word that came out of that man's mouth was, "I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I don't buy it." It's like, do you believe it? Maybe you don't believe it. Hard to tell. Yeah, she struggled for sure. The pictures definitely did not do her any help because, like, not a single smile, like not even a crack of a smile in those pictures to show like a friendly face. Yeah. Paul didn't look the most approachable. And then, you know, as like they were playing the games a little bit and, you know, it was like, Paul is sent a nude. Whoa, maybe we can talk to this guy because he's relatable. And then it was like, okay, but Paul's never called out sick from work. So what the hell is wrong with this guy? Or maybe I don't know if I'm saying it backwards, but she was trying, you know, especially hard with all of her answers. And it's just, it seems pretty easy for all these people to pick up on when someone's not being like a genuine person and when their answers sound a little bit forced, but especially with Parker as Paul, she really never stood a chance. The only way that I think she would have made it through this first blocking is if anybody had seen value in this person sticking around because they'd always be a bigger target. But that was not the case. And it was just an easy first out.
Yeah. And it did feel like there was some amount of like, maybe from Carol, like maybe it's worth keeping Parker or Paul around. Just between the two of them in the influencer spot, it was just like, it's not worth sticking up for Paul. Also, can I just say, we've talked about this before in terms of the amount of flirting on The Circle as a means of like strategic discourse, often in terms of like building alliances. Oh, we're flirting with each other in The Circle. But beyond that, I feel like The Circle has one of the thirstiest casts like every single year. What is up with this that like we get Parker visiting a John who is Carol and she's like all over him?
Yeah, and you think they just want to like cut the cameras.
I feel like, and but here's the thing, I feel like I have seen this exact scene every single season of the
Nick
US
and Rachel
Circle.
Last season or
every time.
Yeah,
like, what is up with that?
There's a hot person
maybe
back there.
It's the lack of communication and social contact. You're so isolated, trapped in this tiny apartment by yourself. So maybe by the time you get out, you're just desperate for any kind of contact.
Must be.
Maybe is it like, because the other Netflix reality shows are like all love oriented, right? Like.
There's a lot of them. Like if these two people, both John and Parker, were not cast on like The Circle and they were cast on one of these love shows, like they could have easily found each other on that show and, you know, had the same reaction that they had upon meeting each other in person here. But this is not the venue for that. So you get them very close to wanting to have it be the venue for that. They're just like, oh, you live by Jersey? No? Okay, well, move closer. it's like, what is happening here?
Well, but that's part of it too, is that I feel like what usually happens here on The Circle is that it's one person who is very like aggressively into the other one, and the other person is just kind of like, okay.
I thought both of them were pretty into this one.
I mean, maybe, but man, it's very funny to me that we get this again, because if I hadn't podcasted about the show and like I was only very casually watching, I would have seen that scene and been like, wait, have I seen this season already? I swear I've seen that before. Like, it was just too much.
Yeah.
All right. So that was Parker, aka Paul.
We truly.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest-growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
We also have, I mean, let's talk about Carol, the other catfish here that is introduced right away, at least, played by John. This is his mother, Carol, and he seems to be a lot more successful at playing his mother. He seems to be a lot more in tune with how she might interact with people, although maybe laying it on a little bit thick sometimes. And also not great at decorating cakes, Amy.
Well, look, as a mum, I actually suck at decorating cakes, so I completely understand about that. So I think that's the danger, right? If you lean too hard on the trope and the stereotype and, you know, I'm the Italian mama and I love to bake, then that's quite difficult when you then get faced with what I would have thought would be a predictable baking challenge or decorating challenge.
They do it all the time.
We all knew that they were going to reuse it. Yeah, so... Yeah. Why would you bring up baking? I would have just said up front in my profile, you know, mum, love cooking, hate baking. It's something like that. So yeah. I think he comes across a little bit more genuine than Parker did, just because it feels like his profile is a little bit of a tribute to his mum. It's done very lovingly. It's sort of done very much in the spirit of who she is. And I feel like he kind of is celebrating her with the way that he talks about her. So it feels very authentic and organic, and he's, you know, he's just doing it very naturally, whereas I feel like Parker really overthought everything in the way that she tried to portray her dad and maybe didn't really understand her dad as much as it feels like John does with Carol. It feels like they probably outside in the real world have a very close relationship. He's a bit of a mama's boy, and so he's able to kind of really embody her quite convincingly, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know that I see the longevity here for Carol, just because it feels like a lot of people are going to catch on to what's going on here. Like you said, Taryn, like John lays it on really thick, like talking about, you know, the glass of red with every single person that
hashtag mama bear.
The mama chat, mama this, mama that, mama left, mama right. Like it's like a whole, he's making a whole song and dance about, you know, her being and like. Sure, that could be very much how his mom talks or like how his mom is, and that's fine and all, but like nobody's like it doesn't feel like anyone's coming to her saying like, oh, you're like my mom in here. She's just like, oh, you're all my little, you know, all my little my kids, whatever, like you're all my babies. Yeah, like it's just, you know, it's a lot, and the cake certainly didn't help. It was very unfortunate for John as he was like putting it together. He was like, oh, I think I'm doing a really good job. And then he's like slapping like a piece of whatever, like around the side of it. And he's like, there we go. This is good. This is, it's like every other cake was better than yours. This is tragic for you. I'm so sorry. So just the signs are there and just, you know, it doesn't feel like he's like doing a very good job of pretending of people, getting people to believe, you know, he is who he says he is, but obviously there's a Spice Girls distraction happening right now that's going to give him a little bit more of a break to kind of gain his footing. Other than that, I feel like he very easily could have been, you know, in trouble by now.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, when you're catfishing, like, why not just say that your mom has your interests? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know what his interests are, but hey,
Parker.
I'm like, I'm a video game mom. You know what I mean? Like, I'm into video games. That's my weird quirk as a mom. And it's really because I'm a 24-year-old dude. But actually, if anything, it almost would make it seem more believable in my eyes, because it's like, who would try to pretend to be two things that you wouldn't normally associate together, like a mom and a video gamer? Look, you know, moms can be video gamers too. And then you can talk about video games all you want and it'll be like, yeah, that's cause that's who she is. You know what I mean?
I love playing video games, listening to my Rod Stewart and drinking mm-hmm. my glass of red. That's just mm-hmm. my thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's interesting, cause I kind of disagree with you. I feel like the rest of the cast responds to that mama bear sort of banter. They all talk about, I feel like I've been adopted. I feel like they respond positively.
So yeah, it wasn't all negative. Yeah,
I feel like he kind of leans into that role. He could be seen as sort of non-threatening, non-strategic, just, I'm just the mom, I'm here for an experience, I've spent all my life raising my kids, now I'm doing something for myself. You know, there is a way to play that makes you takes you kind of off the radar as a threat. But the one thing I'm curious about with him is, why does he feel the need to catfish when that whole trope of the Italian guy in his 20s won season one? Why wouldn't he lean into that Joey Sasso kind of role? Because that has been a winner in the past.
You kind of have to wonder at a certain point, like, was he only cast on the show to potentially, because I'm sure this has been talked about in past seasons of like, when they go on, they probably say like, oh, I could either be myself, or here are one or two people that I would potentially catfish as. And mm-hmm. I feel like production probably tells you before you're going on. So we're casting you, but only if you are playing as this role.
Yeah, that's my sort of impression is that basically, like, you know, I think some people go on the show like excited to play a role. And I think that probably helps if you like really want to play a role.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, you know, it's probably, you know, like when you get cast for a show like Big Brother or Survivor, you usually have to like lean into certain aspects of yourself,
Kevin.
Play up a role a little bit. And then so we often see like in pregame interviews, they're like, Kevin, like, oh, I'm going to be a villain. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then they get on the show and they're like, nah, I'm just going to be chill. On The Circle, if you're like, I'm going to be a catfish and I'm going to pretend to be this, they're going to be like, all right. And then you go on, you're like, well, crap. I can't just be chill now. I'm actually trying to pretend to be somebody.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you'll do whatever they seem to want you to do, whether they are explicitly telling you or not. I think you'll like be like, oh, you really like the idea of me being my mom? Well, here's a bunch of ideas I got for that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we're really liking this. This is good stuff. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that then.
I didn't know if there was like I did not do the statistical research, but it felt like I was like only two of the first like group of house guests, like two people in the first group were catfish. I feel like there's usually like three or four. I could be totally wrong on that, but they were both, and it was the same story. It was two people that were catfishing as a parent. So I was like, there's not,
but
a
I feel like that was
here.
Deliberate, right? Because probably, they were hoping that some sort of connection would be established between those two.
Right. Plus knowing that the Spice Girls were going to come in and have their own catfish being set up. Plus, you know, by episode three, Alex joins and there's another catfish going. So we get there eventually. But there was none of them were like the most, like, you know, you like when it's like some small, tiny girl catfishing as like her grandpa, just because, like, I don't know, when there's like a big difference, not just like, oh, I know this person really well and this is why I'm going to be able to do it.
Yeah, I feel like the catfishing as a relative, you know, I've seen it work well, but I feel like, yeah, the most fun ones are the ones that have the most sort of like, I like when I'm watching John be like, oh, I'm talking about my mom's sex life. I'm like, okay, that's.
That sucks for you, and it's not the most interesting for the rest of us. It's just what it is.
Yeah, like so that's not like the deepest sort of like intrigue in terms of seeing somebody catfish in my eyes. But you know, hopefully we'll get some more as we go. So that was John. Sorry, I've been calling him John. I think his name is John is his name. Okay. I just saw Josh, and I was like, Josh, who's Josh? It's Brew. Brew is another Brew. Contestant here. So Matt, you're saying Brew. Did you know of Brew before
yes.
the show?
Yes.
He seems like the kind of person you would know.
I don't know what that means, but
you're
yes.
up, you're up with all the hip, the hip TikTokers.
Brew is a big, is big on TikTok, and I probably found him like a year and change ago. I had no idea who was on the cast coming into it. So when he showed up and popped up on the screen, I was like, holy cow. He's just a radio host, as he says, from California. And his thing is just, he's got a great radio voice. Like, we haven't seen a whole lot of it on the show. I'm hoping that like we get more time with him where he just gets to like say the things that he says on the microphone. But he'll just like be sitting in the studio with like sitting at the microphone, and his TikToks are really just like people will tell him like stupid things to say. It'll be like incorporate, you know, I have to go feed my horse into like a random, you know, radio announcement. And he'll just be like, you know, so the next song that we have coming up is like really good. You know, the other day I was walking and I was like, I have to go feed my horse. And he'll say these things, but he's got like a great radio voice. So it just has gotten him a lot of views and followers. What did he say? 3.5 million followers. So yeah, this guy is doing pretty well for himself over on the TikTok, and very excited to see him here.
I don't understand how nobody has mentioned yet that he looks like I thought Andy, what is his name? Andy Sandberg. The guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I just straight up thought he was on the show from the previews. And then it was, no, this is a different, like not as big a celebrity, but pseudo celebrity, but just looks exactly like him.
Not exactly, but I just kind of see it.
Yeah, I felt like it. Actually.
You didn't really?
No. I could like close my eyes and squint to see it.
I see it all the time. If I'm not paying close enough attention, I'm like, whoa, it's Andy. Oh, no, it's Brew.
No, it's Brew. Brew's great.
What do you think about Brew, Amy?
I did not know who he was, and I still feel like I still don't really know who he is. I don't get a strong sense of his personality other than everyone says he's this amazing radio presenter, but he seems like he can barely string a sentence together to get his profile up. So, I don't have a strong sense of him yet. Hard for me to really make a call on how he's going to go, but it feels like he'll probably sit quietly in the middle for another few more episodes until he sort of starts to develop as a character.
Yeah. The thing that stood out to me about Brew was that he, not only did they poke fun at him for being like very like, what do I say in my room? But also his cake, which he said, what truly matters is what's on the inside. And then he has a conversation about it afterward where he was like, yeah, so the thing about mine is that what I wanted to say is that what really matters is not what's on the outside, but what's on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What I didn't understand about his cake is that why was it not better? Because later on, he appears to be decorating a completely separate cake that's nothing to do with the challenge. Is he going to eat that whole cake by himself? Did you see that?
I didn't notice. Second cake, but
yeah, he has this whole, I think in episode 4, he's got a whole giant piece of cake, like full cake, like a family-sized cake, that he's putting the buttercream on and decorating to eat, presumably, by himself. It's very strange.
It's what's on the inside that matters. So he's only going to eat that.
Cake. As long as cake is on the inside.
Yeah.
Mm. I feel like he... I feel like he should do well, but I'm not sure, like how well he's fitting in right now. I'm not sure that, like... I feel like the issue with Brew so far is that he hasn't really opened up anybody yet. And maybe that's because he's, which would be interesting, he's used to being a big social media personality in which you don't often interact. Maybe other people do, but you're used to a certain level of distance within the social media sphere. And that could be interesting in terms of like how it might influence how he interacts with the other players in the game. But we'll see. I feel like he's got potential.
Yeah, I think I could see, you know, I think a lot of these players we're going to get more from once the Spice Girls phase of the game is over. And it's really just about the rest of the players more. I feel like he could really emerge at that point. I could see a little bit of potential that maybe he could be overthinking some things as far as his gameplay goes, because just coming in as somebody who is already known, like, is he in here for like furthering his brand, his career, like maybe that's coming first, or is he trying to play the game, or is he trying to, you know, like, I don't know exactly what his motivation is here. If he is trying to play the game and do well, then I feel like, and there were definitely times where I thought that was the case. He was kind of like sussing out, you know, who the Spice Girls were. And I don't know, there were times where I was like, okay, he's definitely paying attention, but I don't know. It's hard to see like who he's like fully connecting with at the moment, who he's going to be like trying to, you know, keep on his side, like him and Alyssa. Could that be a thing? I don't know. I don't really know where he goes from here. But again, I think that once we move to these next 4 episodes that are going to be coming up, we'll have a better idea.
Yeah, it is a good point that like, and this is one of the comments I have on the episodes as a whole, is that it does feel very Spice Girl heavy. And I really don't know what the relationships are between a lot of these people. I felt like we got a little bit of it in the first couple of episodes and subsequent blocking. But then it was like things seemed like maybe they were starting to shift a little bit, with Alyssa maybe getting a little bit suspicious of Carol, and then Carol was getting closer to, I think, Yu Ling. And it was like, okay, well, so who's with who now? Like who's, I don't even know. They haven't done ratings in a while and it's been all about the Spice Girls, which I don't think is an issue for the season at large, but in these first four episodes, it doesn't give us quite as much to talk about in terms of personality and where people are fitting in exactly. Let's talk about Alyssa, who it's listed executive assistant to a sex coach, I think was the title. What do you do as an assistant? Is she just like, is she just an assistant or is she assisting with like other things? Like, it seems like she's very knowledgeable.
Yeah. That's why she's in the line of work. She knows what she's talking about.
Okay. like is she going to be a sex coach eventually, or is she like an assistant as her job and she just happens to be assisting a sex coach right now?
It sounds like she wants to be a sex coach.
It seems like it. Yeah.
It sounds like that's what she's saying. So presumably she will have to go off and do a course or some sort of training in order to qualify to do that. But I do find it interesting that she lists that as her job and nobody is calling her out for being a catfish. I would have thought that was quite a suspicious job title to be putting up there. You know, it seems like it's a way to kind of distract people. It seems very out there. So I'm quite surprised that nobody has sort of really focused on that. And I feel like
the Spice Girls tried.
Yeah, they tried. And it just didn't seem to take off, did it? So her coming in with the vulva pillow and everything seemed to me like production was wanting something more out of that storyline that we haven't really seen develop too much.
She's a gamer, though. She's got the notes on the wall. She is writing things down. Like, she is going to be more than likely, I would say, in the final five, like at that final whatever. I don't know how she's going to finish there, but I feel like she is somebody that we are just cutting back to at every opportunity. She is making connections throughout the cast, and not all of them are the strongest. Like, we saw the Spice Girls were coming for her, wanting to make the target on her because, you know, whatever she said that in her bio, hashtag short and spicy or something like that, that they were, you know, really clinging on to that, being like, oh, look, it's Alyssa. She gave it away. So that was, you know, unfortunate for her if it had worked, whatever. But I feel like I'm definitely paying attention to her. And I feel like that's probably what she's, you know, what the goal is. She's playing hard and she's doing a lot.
Yeah, I agree. She's a good player.
Yeah. I feel like, the thing about like the sex coach thing is that it's so specific, right? And I feel like most of the time, like, unless it's basically most people who come onto the show to be a catfish are probably not going to do something as specific as an assistant to a sex coach. Like, that's something that the producers might assign you. Like, children's author is something the producers might assign you,
assistant or children's author,
ghost hunter, or whatever, right? But it's probably not something you would choose to catfish as yourself. And granted, the producers might assign you anywhere, but I feel like it's so specific, and she probably is knowledgeable enough about it that she can probably pretty quickly prove that she is who she is. My only concern with her in terms of the strategy is that, as per usual, she seems very hung up on figuring out who the catfish are, which is not terrible in terms of strategy because it's a way of helping point fingers and, you know, targets elsewhere. But I do feel like she maybe jumped the gun a little bit when she publicly sort of accused Carol of making a bad cake. Seems like she was basically the first person in the entire game to draw blood here. And she was somebody that Carol seemed to think that she was cool with.
Yeah.
And now no longer does. So I think that, like, she's clearly very smart. She rightfully caught Carol. She also was able to catch on to what Jared was up to. She's got a good head on her shoulders here, but I worry that, you know, she doesn't have keep it to yourself a little bit. Don't expose your game. Might make a target of yourself.
Yeah, that was a strange turn for her, wasn't it? That kind of deciding to draw blood like that for seemingly no reason. I think she didn't need to expose herself like that so early on in the game when everyone seemed to be getting along very nicely, and particularly they were the first four to go in there. So I would have thought that four, you'd want to keep each other on side because you've got a bond there that nobody else is going to be able to create.
I think her goal is for everybody to expose themselves is at the end of the day, and you know, just everybody, let's just all expose ourselves and be open and free. And
yeah,
I think that's what she does, but she's an assistant. So maybe she doesn't want to go all in on that just yet.
Well, Carol actually asked her for advice and then she didn't give any advice. So has she been
told? She said, she's like, my DMs are open. It's like, she asked you now.
That's what DM is. That's all we're doing.
We're messaging.
We're right here, right now.
What do you need more privacy? Like, do you think that they're not going to capture that conversation? Like, or is the advice just going to be bad? Like, what's going on?
I mean, because that's the thing. Like what I'm not super interested in is like, oh man, I'm asking for advice, like sex advice about my mom. Like that's boring. What I am interested in is specifically, now let's talk about what the sex advice is for his mom, and him having to reply. That I'm more interested in. That's the conversation I want to see.
Nope.
Yes, Alyssa said, was it? Why did they end it?
Alyssa put that one behind the paywall, so we'll have to get to that next time.
Speaking of people that kind of threw some shade over at Carol, Krissa, who ends up in the fourth episode voting that Carol is the Spice Girls. And Carol was like, oh, that genuinely hurts. I thought we were cool. I mean, I can't really blame Krissa for if she genuinely thought that Carol was the Spice Girls. They're like, every vote matters. There are consequences. Like, you gotta vote for who you think is the Spice Girlsiest. And Carol is fake, not the Spice Girls, but fake. So, can't really blame Krissa in the same way that I would Alyssa in that it was like unforced on Alyssa's part. Exposed a relationship here. But how do we feel about Krissa, Amy?
Oh, I really enjoy Krissa. I like that she makes these comments to herself and then you see them appear in the feed. So she has no filter. Mm-hmm. She says these things. It took me a while to get used to because she'd say these things and I think, right, but what she's going to say in the chat will be different. But it's not. It's basically exactly what she's, you know, what she thinks is what she says straight away. And so I think the lack of filter, it's hilarious to watch sometimes, like, you know, when she was like, you know, dudes, don't judge me, but I don't know what a memoir is. Hilarious. And I was thinking about with Parker, whether maybe if Parker had leaned into that sorority girl, I'm a bit dumb, I'm a bit ditzy, all I know about is cocktails and fashion. You know, there's something quite charming about that with Krissa. You know, guys, I'm a bit dumb, I'm just a jock, what do I know? I don't know anything except basketball. That's kind of what is relatable about her. So I think she has the potential to actually go quite deep because she comes across very kind of every man, somebody that you could have a good chat with, you could go have a beer with. You know, she just seems to me like a very likable sort of personality.
And now we have this like weird triangle almost where Alyssa called out Carol, Krissa voted for Carol, Alyssa told us she feels threatened by Krissa. So it's like, which direction are we going to go in here? Does Carol now have the option to choose which of them she feels less betrayed by? And does that put Carol back in a better spot? Are Alyssa and Krissa going to team up and say, oh, we both think that Carol's a phony, we have to get rid of her? So there's some kind of dynamic. And all of them kind of have some pieces on their own side. Like, I mean, Krissa specifically, we know, has Frank by her side. We haven't talked much about Frank yet. I'm sure we will. But so that's like a close connection that's going on. So I'm gonna say again, probably say four more times, but once the Spice Girls are out of the picture and we can see more of like how these groups are starting to play out, it's gonna, I think there's definitely some interesting dynamics to see how people end up falling in line. Krissa is perfectly, you know, nice. She seems fun, in the same way that like kind of like with Brew, like we haven't gotten much from them just yet, besides just some excited personality, like just jumping up all around the room and, you know, with some fun moments during the cake stuff and during the 90s party and whatnot. So it's like, oh, we know we have a fun person here, but we haven't really spent enough time with them for us to be fully in their corner just yet.
Yeah, we just know that she doesn't know what a memoir is. Which,
who could blame her?
Which is, it's funny for her. You know, I'm a jock. Yeah, sorry, guys. Don't know what this is. Much, much funnier for the 21-year-old Parker playing a 56-year-old marriage therapist or whatever she said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what a I don't know. I'm right there with you, Chris. What's a memoir? Like, you look like you've written five of them.
I don't know how she couldn't figure it out just based on other people's answers.
Mm-hmm. Like, everybody else was giving answers that were like, okay, it's clearly something about themselves, whether this could be a song title, this could be whatever it is. They're all giving things that like relate to themselves. So just zip it and come up with something witty about yourself. You have all the time in the world.
And also, like, just even from context of what Chris is saying, like, oh, I'm a dumb jock. Sorry, I don't know what this is. As Paul, you're going to be like, yeah, I'm in that same category. Yeah.
Just a dumb dad jock.
I'm also just a dumb 56-year-old jock.
Yeah.
Marriage therapist.
Yeah. I wonder it didn't work.
I also love that she was like, he's really like a real estate agent or whatever. And the second they saw his photo, they were like, he looks like a real estate agent, not a marriage therapist.
Like, surely there was a picture of the man smiling, but that's fine. I'm sure she has regrets.
All right. Well, let's talk about Frank. Frank, who was our top influencer for the only ratings that we have seen thus far. No real reason to believe that will change in terms of his actual popularity. Although we do often see that the top influencer will then be rated lower in subsequent ratings just because, you know, they were rated highly before. But he seems like he's pretty popular here. In the circle, at least so far, seems to also have some decent instincts in terms of, you know, who's fake. I mean, they all knew Parker was fake, but also his gut was telling him that Jared was the Spice Girls. How do we feel about Frank, Amy?
Yeah, fun. As you say, seems to be a smart player, quite strategic, seems to have a good sense of the game in the sense that he can pick out where the catfish are, he can pick out where some of the relationships are, but he's also smart enough to not then go around antagonizing people and creating enemies. I think this guy's going to go quite deep in the game, and he's very likable and funny to watch. So I think he's going to be very much a fan as well as a player favorite.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't drink, but I'd still get on his boat and have a great time. looks like fun. Looks like he is throwing some fun boat parties. So, you know, no surprise that everybody's reaction was like, oh, this guy is a great time. And obviously he was very highly rated. He's making some friendships, you know, specifically Krissa and a couple other people that were, you know, feeling close enough to him. Of course, we had Carol that was also a influencer in that first vote, and the two of them went in to make that decision. Frank, I would say, you know, it never hurts to be the one that sits back on the telling the people, you know, what's going to happen. You can kind of go both ways with it, but you let the other person talk, and it's kind of like they're the one that's leading the decision making, and they seem more confident in what it just happened. So, you know, the blood is a little bit more on their hands than it is on yours. So, you know, we kind of sat back and let Carol give the news there for the first blocking. And now he's just, you know, and like you said, he kind of clocked Jared a little bit, even though him, Jared and Krissa had that little, you know, that group chat that it was like, okay, maybe this could be something. But even still, he was like, well, I can't feel comfortable with this because I think this is not a genuine person. So he still voted for him. So smart player. I also see him, you know, having pretty good longevity in the game.
Yeah, I feel like Frank is the person that I'd probably, now granted, I feel like, again, like the first top influencer, I feel like doesn't usually have a ton of longevity. But I feel like this is not a situation where I think that like Frank will be blocked soon. I think that Frank will probably be in it for the long haul. Could he win though? I really think it's tough when you're up out in front, early. That's basically people's first impression of you is that like you are a popular person. So he'd need to really sort of get back under the radar if he wants a chance of getting the win, which is because this game is weird in the end. But it'll be interesting to see Frank. I think he'll be around for a while. Then we also have Yu Ling. Yu Ling is 25 years old. Seems like she was starting to, people said that, that she, like, at first that she seemed like, she came on strong and then wasn't quite as maybe active later on.
She wasn't saying much. She wasn't responding as much. They were saying that she was like being a little slow answering the messages the first night. But I think by like the second or third night, she had opened up a little bit more and people were starting to, cause like you see, she gets sixth in that first rating right above, Paul, right, who was at the bottom. So, you know, one or two votes go a little different and she could have been at the bottom there.
Yeah, like, and I'm always skeptical about like, oh, well, they weren't talking as much. Cause like, she doesn't, like, when we see her, she seems like she's fine. Like, it seems like she's just acting perfectly normal. Seems like she's talking to people fine. Sometimes this is an issue of like, just some people don't have as much opportunity to talk to others. And then sometimes I think just, there's like a sense of, I don't know, like maybe she's, I don't know what it is, but she does make a connection with Carol, which I think could be good for her, although Carol seems to be on the way down. I really like Yu Ling. I'm interested to see more from her. Amy, what did you think of Yu Ling?
Yeah, I was really surprised she ranked so low in the first ratings. I thought she would actually do better. People seem to respond well to her. They seem to like her quirky personality. So I think it's strange. And the fact that she then kind of dialed it back a little bit initially after the rankings and then sort of leaned forward again, I think is perfectly understandable. You want to adjust your game depending on where you are in the rankings. But I think she's really fun to watch. I mean, that tiny little girl can eat so much food. I'm obsessed with watching what she eats. I mean, first thing we see her eat is this giant steak, like the size of her head. Then she's eating these two giant pieces of toast, covered in Nutella and like a full punnet of strawberries. And then she looks like she's eating Flaming Hot Cheetos with chopsticks. She's fascinating. I'm just obsessed with watching her. I think she's really interesting. She's got some great little funny comments that she does. But I don't know what it is about why she hasn't seemed to really made an impact with the other players. And I don't know if that's because of just the medium of the way in which they communicate. People can't see her rainbow hair. They can't see what a little pocket rocket she is. They can't see all the kind of funny little things she does. Maybe that big personality just doesn't translate well in a text message kind of format.
Maybe. How tall did she say she was?
Not very.
No, I think both her and Alyssa are around the 5 foot mark.
Yeah, somebody was like,
yeah, I think she said she was on the shorter side. But yeah, no, she seems like a lot of fun. I loved the conversation that she had with Nathan towards the end of, was it episode 4 maybe? When she was just trying to get, you know, she's like, this guy's young, but I'll flirt with him. Like, I'll see, you know, whatever we can do here to build some kind of connection. And it works. And she, you know, believes him, thinking that he's, you know, this young guy. And she's like, all right, well, now I have another person that's kind of in my pocket, in my corner. So, you know, that's something to look out for going forward. And I do think, you know, by that point, she's definitely kind of grown some more favor within everybody else, you know, shown more of her personality, and people are starting to, Taryn, you mentioned the connection with Carol. So, you know, there's definitely room for her to maneuver here. I don't think she's in any kind of like, the fact that she came in sixth out of seventh the first time around, I don't see her being in that kind of danger again, at least in the next vote or two. I feel like she'll be at least, at the very least, in like a middle spot of the house, if not, you know, kind of climbing up towards the top, if she can continue to, you know, to grow some relationships there. But she's just a lot of fun. She's just you know, her and Frank are the top two that they go to for like just the funny reactions.
Yeah, in my eyes, I would say she's like a winner contender to me. Like, this is the spot you kind of want to start in my eyes, because she's one of the original players, starting toward the bottom, but yeah, probably not in danger of leaving. There's, you know, you've got the Spice Girls leaving first, and then you've probably got, you know, Alex and Rachel will probably be safe for the first thing. But basically, as long as she can survive this next blocking, until both Alex, aka Nathan, and Rachel are vulnerable, because then probably one of them will leave, and then she'll probably be pretty decent until the end. And as long as she doesn't rise too high after that, then I think she'd be in prime position to potentially win the whole thing. So I'm going to be keeping my eye on Yuling, and yeah, if she's gone in the next four episodes.
Plus, like that, like once you get to that point that you're talking about, like the originals always like to stick together unless mm-hmm. there's like somebody that they're really, you know, putting to the outside of that. So you'll get like whichever of the four originals are together or five, you know, whoever is been there the longest, they always, you know, kind of push everybody else out unless there's like last season's winner came in on like it was an episode. I was looking at the chart today. I think he came in on like episode six. The guy that won, I think his name was James. He was definitely, you know, not one of the originals. So sometimes you can get somebody that, you know, sneaks their way in. And
he came into a fully divided game at that point, though, I think, right, which is the key to that one.
But, you know, that's not the standard for sure. So, you know, if Yuling can keep herself in that kind of spot, then I can totally see her, like you said, being in a good spot to win. And I would love that. She's like, again, a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, it's interesting because we really don't know what, not only what the relationship, but also like what the strategy of the season will be. Last season was very strategic with the divided, you know, house, so to speak, apartment complex, maybe divided circle. And so we've seen very little strategy here in the first four episodes because we've been focusing so much on the next person to talk about, Jared, a.k.a. the Spice Girls. I've found them, to be very, I mean, I think obviously you would expect this from seasoned media professionals, but, they know how to entertain and they're very funny. I always enjoy when there are two people in a room and they're about to say we,
yep.
I.
Yeah. Good catches there.
It's always my favorite.
This is the best couple that we've ever seen on The Circle, I think. Often I've felt like there's a very dominant personality and then there's a sidekick and you're wondering, what is the sidekick doing there? What is the purpose of having these two people? The chemistry is often a bit so familial, as in literally like two sisters or a mother and a son, that it's kind of awkward and not really interesting to watch. Whereas I think the dynamic between these two is really perfect. You know, they clearly know how to banter and riff off each other. They both have these personalities that they've been playing that they know how to slot straight into. And so I think that that works really well as a duo in a way that I feel like hasn't really worked in The Circle in the past. I also think it's hilarious that they're so busy ribbing each other and making jokes at each other and, you know, squabbling amongst themselves that all the other players are getting so impatient because they take so long to respond in every conversation.
Yeah, that's definitely, it's something that I feel like we don't usually see much of. Like, I feel like in most of the seasons of The Circle I've watched, even when people are taking a long time to respond, we usually don't get comment on it. So I wonder if they're like very actually like particularly slow, or if this is just part of, you know, the tension of like, will they be caught? But, it seems like, yeah, they struggle a little. I also really enjoy that part of why they're so slow is that they need to make sure they're translating from British to American, like, vocab.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that would be a dead giveaway. There's no indication that Jared was British. So if words start coming in that are not common American English phrases, it would definitely spark, you know, some confusion there.
What did they say? What was it like? They didn't say I'm shook, I think they did say I'm shook or something like that, but they did something else too. They were just trying to pretend like they were American. It was very,
there's been a bunch of times where they like say something and then, you know, like Emma will say something and then Mel's like, oh, backspace that. No, don't do that. Let's say this instead. Okay, here we go. And then, you know, one of them will say it. They just go ahead and send it through. But, a lot of those scenes were a lot of fun. I mean, I think the most fun for me with them was during the quiz that was going on, the Spice Girls quiz, because just watching them watch everybody else answer the questions and them figure out how they were going to answer their question. I don't know, I just thought that was more interesting than just figuring out what they were going to say in these conversations. But all of it, I thought was worthwhile. Again, I'm upset that they're not going to be throughout the entire season. But they're obviously not, you know, here as serious contenders to win. So, it is what it is. You know, we're getting a fun couple of episodes with these pretty big name celebrities, while we can get them.
Yeah.
Can I just say that Spice Girls quiz, as someone who is a Spice Girls fan and who coincidentally happened to watch a Spice Girls documentary just a couple of weeks ago, I think I only got one or two of the answers correct. It was a tough quiz. So
have you watched Spice Girls the movie?
Yes, of course.
Or was Spice Worlds.
But no, Spice yeah. World. Spice Girls that was the answer that they gave.
See, I when I saw that question, I was like, I would say Spice Girls the movie. That's the answer I would give, as not knowing what it was. And it's also the answer I would want to give if I did know what it was, and I was trying to pretend I didn't know what it was. So it was the perfect answer. I thought they nailed that one.
That whole game was just fun, of like everybody overthinking, you know, what you're going to say and what the other person's going to say and what that person's going to say and what that means and why did they answer that, and if they're doing that on purpose, if they're doing that not on purpose. Like every single person was going through that, you know, that questionnaire for every single question. So at a certain point, it's like, we're not really getting anywhere for actual, like, figuring anything out here. Mm. But if you can convince yourself of like, that person said this because of that, for that reason, and they're trying to convince me of that, then sure.
Yeah, Nathan being like, oh, well, we just listened to that song, so maybe I would know what it was. I wouldn't have known. So I don't know if that was the right call. but yeah, I mean, it's been fun. I will say, you know, again, I feel like I enjoyed having the Spice Girls on the episodes. I assume we're not going to see much more of them, that episode 5 will be their final episode, and that they'll probably be on their way out in the beginning of the episode, and then we'll move on. But I do think that episode 4 is my least favorite of the four, just because it was so heavily focused on one thing, which was, you know, figuring out who the Spice Girls are. And I just wasn't super invested in like whether or not they'd find out. Like the consequences didn't seem that like, oh, no. We're going to add a little bit of extra money to the, like, I mean,
and that was confusing.
That's great for them, like, but like, I don't really care.
Right. Like, I don't think anyone cares on it. I mean, maybe the person who's going to walk away with the prize fund, like, sure, they'll probably care a little bit, but like the fact that the players are, you know, the whole twist of it is like, well, if they get it right, they're actually ruining it for themselves. It's like, okay, so what are we doing then? I mean, sure, I guess that's the only way that you can go with this activity. If you want to get them swiftly on out of the house, you know, and there's no actual consequences to whoever Jared is. And maybe along the way you stir up some drama where you see Chris is going to call out Carol, and maybe that, you know, adds a little bit of something to the game for the people that are going to be left behind. But I don't know. I mean, the point is that the two Spice Girls are going to be doing a good job in there, and that they hopefully wouldn't get caught as Jared. And I do think it would have been a little bit more fun if they were just like, oh, surprise, the Spice Girls have been here the whole time playing as Jared. No way. Rather than like, you know, that you're playing with the Spice Girl. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
But then also how you then, how that person then kind of does the reveal and tells everybody else, that would have been fun as well. So see, you know, the banter that would have generated within the group as people found out that the Spice Girls had visited somebody. And, you know, that dynamic, I think, would have actually generated some interesting conversations amongst players as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good concept. The idea that, like, all right, you've been talking to these people. One of them is actually the Spice Girls. I like that idea for the show. I just feel like they went all in on it for one whole, like, for an entire episode, and I feel like it was too much of that. We needed that to be like one element within the normal Circle gameplay. It was like, I just had a good alliance talk with that person, but are they the Spice Girls? You know, instead of like, we really need to find out who the Spice Girls are. And then we even get that, like, the sort of like the weird juxtaposition of like incentives and what you're rooting for, as the Spice Girls are like watching the vote come in, and they're like, oh no, Alyssa, we're so disappointed in you. I mean, good job, but no, like it's like exactly.
That's yeah, my, right.
It's a little off. Little off.
Who would have been your? Who would you have been excited for if not the Spice Girls? If you were in the circle and it was some singing group or anything that you were excited for?
That's well known.
Sure. Who's Terrence Spice Girls?
I think it would be like Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park. If he was in there, yeah.
I wouldn't have known him by name, but
no,
if it's the guy from Linkin Park, I'm good with that.
Yeah. yeah. But I think that something like that, like you know, a big band from my childhood.
Right? He's free.
Who?
That guy.
Oh, Mike Shinoda, yeah, probably.
Yeah. You can get him next season.
Make some music in there. You know?
Have him play as like Carol. Bring her back. I mean, we may be getting a returnee back. You saw the preview, right? For the next.
Oh, episode. Yeah, yeah.
There's a familiar face amongst the crowd.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's two more players to talk about. First is Rachel. Who is very flattered to be suspected as the Spice Girls.
Also, she has thighs.
She does have thighs.
She doesn't want her dad to know, but she does have them.
She does in fact have them. Unfortunately for her, unless her dad does not watch the show, he's now going to know that she does in fact have thighs. She also is, I'm not going to get this right, is a paranormal... investigator person.
Yeah, she deals with paranormal experiences, and that's like her. That's her.
She was like, "I'm laughing at my a paranormal researcher."
Yeah.
Okay. Which is you know, obvious, very close to who was the character that Nick had to play as Vince, the ghost hunter.
Yeah.
The heck was that about?
I feel like they were like, that was so fun. Let's get a real one on.
Well, Rachel's a lot more fun than whatever Nick had to do.
Oh, yeah, totally. This felt very much like Alyssa's occupation in that production was wanting to get a lot of mileage out of the paranormal stuff. And then all we got was her spraying some water around the room, and we've never talked about it since.
Yeah. And her, you know, kind of not doing well in the Spice Girls quiz that she kind of thought she was prepping her whole life for. Like, she went in, shot herself in the foot by giving the information about her Spice Girls interview that she had done when she was younger, and then, you know, spent the rest of the episode being sad because she thought that she was going to be in trouble. So you took this like big personality. She was like all excited to be there. And then, you know, there was like an interesting aspect, like just, you know, a new interesting person that had joined. And she spent the rest of the episode being like, well, that sucks. Well,
yeah.
My eyes are going to hate me.
I'm trying to imagine like if I was on the circle and they played Linkin Park and I was like, oh, that's great. I love Linkin Park so much. And then they're like, well, actually, one of the people you're talking to is Mike Shinoda. I'd be like, oh, my God. And then they quizzed me on it. I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
Like, what have I
the
done?
Concert that he played the first time in his life, and you would be like, New York, and they'd be like, wrong. They'd be like, oh, F that guy. He's stupid. He thinks he's my fan. Hell no. Get
what color
here.
Was his hair in the end music video? Like, I don't know. One of the 15 different colors it was
fake
back
fan.
In the
Get
2000s.
Don't take a picture with me after the show. I don't want to see you. Your life would be over.
I feel so sorry for her because that trivia quiz thing was really, that was her dog kissing moment. I think that has blown up her game. The whole Spice Girls bit has actually sucked all of her character out of the show, so we're not getting to really know her personality at all. And I think she's going to be the next one out just because of that.
Well, surely, like once it's revealed that it was Jared, like there's some vindication, right? Like she's real. She's not the Spice Girls. Does that help her any? But you know, and she's also, she should be immune from the next blocking, right? So should have some time to reintegrate. I feel like she's got a chance here, and she can talk about like afterward, especially because she has such a great attitude about it to herself of like, it's so flattering. I think that when it's revealed that it's Jared, she can be like, guys, and they'll be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry that we thought it was your age. oh my God, I am so flattered that you thought I was the Spice Girls. And that's kind of like a great way of overcoming that sort of awkward situation. So we'll see. I feel like she's got some options.
I can see her sticking around for like, you know, like there's always the one or two that join almost at this exact time and they're not going to be all the way at the end. So you got to cut like one or two before that time frame. So like, that's almost like her best case scenario, I feel like, at this point. I mean, if she can work her way into finale, like, great. I think she's, again, a lot of fun and I would love to see it for her, but did not have the strongest start for sure.
Yeah. And then finally, we have Alex, a.k.a. Nathan. And Nathan is a 22-year-old, fun-employed member of society. Alex, I actually don't know what Alex does. What does Alex do?
He's a commercial banker from Arizona.
Right.
And a lot of people within our little community already know Alex.
He's, yes.
A veteran of these online reality games. So... a name that a lot of people saw on the cast and are excited to see here.
Yes, I've been told by a few people that they do know Alex. Hopefully we can get some of those people on for the next podcast or eventually so that they can talk about Alex. But
we've all, anybody who sat down and watched, you know, some of those games back in the pandemic, we've seen Alex play. So he's definitely a familiar face, and it's always cool to see somebody like that make it on the show. So.
What do we think about Nathan, though? What? How about this choice to be Nathan? What do you think about Nathan, Amy?
Well, I was just initially confused when I saw him. I thought he was Alex from season one, just without overalls. I look exactly the same.
Are you?
And,
oh, no.
And he's basically playing exactly the same trope. So it's kind of confusing to me. But I think he seems to have done a good job. Particularly, he's kind of used the Spice Girls twist to his advantage to sort of kind of reach out and get more information. Unfortunately, one of the people he tried to reach out to was the Spice Girls, so that's the connection he's made that'll be wasted. But, yeah, interesting. He seems to have quite a strategic mind. So I'm curious to know, Matt, what he was like playing online games. Is he good? Does he typically go deep?
I can't remember any details of his placement, but I do remember him standing out as just somebody that played hard. And his shirt, he says strategic AF. I don't remember the details of how he played some of those games, but I mean, in this one, he already seems to be jumping right in and trying to play, you know, that kind of like, picking up information. Like he had a group chat with Brew and with Frank, and he was like immediately so like how did the first blocking go, like who was in charge of that one, ha 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 ha. And I think that the character choice here for it to be Nathan, this 22-year-old college guy, is I think pretty bad. I would have to imagine that this was not his first choice going in. I would have to imagine that it, you know, again, whatever, just that it wasn't his first choice, because it's just not a person that you would want to catfish as. Like, I would not want to go in as this young guy. Like just everything about Nathan does not scream somebody that you would want to work with in the circle. It's just like, all right, what is this kid? Like, it's either a catfish or just some kid that, like, I don't care about. Like, I don't need to, you know, focus on this person helping me win the circle. Like,
yeah, like a young frat bro. Like,
it's such a, yeah, it's not great.
especially when, like, you know, he's playing up the party angle, and it's just like okay, that's great, but like I think what you want to be able to do is bring the soft side to Nathan. The problem is that Nathan is so young that the soft side might just seem like he's young and then hard to relate to, and because of that. So I do think it's a tough role to play here for anybody, but. I do think that it is, you know, on the other hand, it's not really the goal to be the most popular. It's the goal to be the most middling. So in that sense, could work theoretically if he could, if he can just like make enough like solid one-on-one connections to sort of like squeeze by and then make it to the end. There's maybe a chance to win that random draw, because that's really all that matters, right? In the circle. You know, it's a very difficult game to actually game, because there's so much randomness, but, I wonder if maybe that was part of strategy, that like I don't want it to be too likable. I want it to be maybe a little bit difficult so that if I get to the end, I'm not just going to auto lose because everyone's going to rank me last for sure. But we'll see.
Yeah, just the character that he's playing and like the person that Alex, I feel like, is like, it just don't line up, and you're going to see this guy who's, you know, Nathan being 22 and fresh out of college, like could just be like, if this was Nathan in there and, you know, who this, I guess, character is, you'd just think he's going in there to have fun and maybe just be like a very nice social guy. But like Nathan is going to be gaming because Alex is going to be gaming with Nathan. And it's just going to be very obvious.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, like Nathan is not like, we talk about the archetype of like the person with glasses and then strategizing with glasses and that being like, oh, they're strategists. But it's not like the like young bro is that far off, you know, like the young bro that's being really strategic is also like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing. Like, You're really strategic, aren't you? You know, I feel like, I don't know if this was the call for Alex, but we'll see. You know, again, we haven't really seen much here. Right. Introduced in episode 3, and then episode 4 was almost entirely about the Spice Girls. So, as with everyone else, a lot yet to be seen with these characters. It feels like we're on a detour right now. A Spice Girls spin-off show, and that we'll get into the season proper in the next batch of episodes here, Amy.
Yeah, exactly. It does feel like this is all a big distraction, and I agree with you that I sort of wish that they'd just wrapped it all up at the end of episode 4 so we could move on to something else, even though it's fun. I don't really want to stretch this halfway through episode 5. So let's hope that the reveal happens quickly and early in episode 5 and then we can move back to some of the gameplay, even though I have loved the Spice Girls content and I found it really, really, really fun.
Yeah. Any other highlights we should talk about in these 4 episodes? I did like, I always appreciate the challenges where they could be exposed, like the cake thing I thought was fun. I actually do think they all did pretty decent jobs with their cakes. I was usually there's somebody's who's just a complete disaster. I feel like that we didn't really get any disasters.
Yeah, the cakes weren't like the last time it was like detrimental, or not last time. It was the one with Jack, right? Jack was playing Emily.
Yeah.
That cake like ruined his game, and like he almost cried and had a meltdown and, you know, called home because of how bad his cake was there, that people were like, that's not Emily's cake. That was like towards the end of the game. I feel like it like ruined everything for him that he had been working on. The challenge that I thought was a little bit more fun or telling was that the one at the beginning with the Been There, Done That, when they were all, you know, saying if they had done it or not, and they were giving thumbs up or thumbs down, and obviously that was still with Parker in the house, and it just, you know, the overthinking that both her and John were doing, trying to figure out how Carol or Paul would answer the questions, and then everybody else is just answering, you know, all freely with the have you ever popped another person's pimple, and Paul's like, no. That's the one you plant your flag on? Like, okay, sure. It gave Frank an opportunity to talk about being on the red carpet. So like that was, you know, I enjoyed that part.
Yeah.
Some good stuff.
Do you think production has gotten a bigger budget to style the interiors? I feel like every apartment is really, 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 really overdone in a way that we haven't seen in the past. Like really beautifully styled. I feel like they need to have a circle shop so I can do some online shopping.
It's like, you know, Survivor, like whatever, like they have to, you know, spend all of these expenses to like continue to produce a season with all the money that they get from CBS. Like they that money, you know where it's going for the most part. But like Netflix is giving the Circle money each season to make a new season. It's like, what are they spending it on? They have cameras set up in a house. It's like Big Brother. It's like so easy to produce. Like if all they have to buy, and they don't even have to like put together challenges, like all they have to buy is decorations to make the house look good and pay the people that are inside.
I mean, if anyone's going to have a brick sponsorship,
yeah, it would be.
It's interesting that the worst style apartment was the Spice Girls apartment. That's the ugliest of all the apartments.
I feel like they had like a lot of room, though. I feel like
they're in that two-bedroom one. So yeah, that one is always a little bit bigger. But that just thematically in terms of interior design was the one that was the most lacking, whereas a lot of the others are really over the top. And you can see they've spent quite a lot of money on the kit out.
Why don't they do themes like Big Brother does? Like, there should be like a theme of each house of each season. Like, no?
Yeah. I mean, I think they kind of, I mean, I don't think it's like the whole apartment complex that's themed, but like obviously the Spice Girls and the sort of a UK spicy theme exists a little bit there, but like
decorations of a theme.
Yeah.
Also, nobody brought like a pet. Are we done with that? Has that been over for a while?
When's the last time we got a pet?
I don't know.
The Spice Girls have a dog.
Oh, you're right.
They do have a dog. I completely forgot about that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they die. So dies the dog. Pink.
Cookie. The dog's name is Cookie.
All right. Let's hope there's another pet that comes in when Cookie makes its way out of the house by episode 5.
I mean, that's probably how they got the Spice Girls to do it, right? Like, you can bring your dog.
That's just like, that's like, I don't know, part of the appeal of the show, that like somebody will bring a pet, and that's just something you don't see on any other show. So I always appreciate that. And then I forget about it by the time I get on the podcast to talk about it. So,
I loved the way after the cake challenge, actually, the Spice Girls were cleaning up, and Scary Spice was like, don't they have like room service or housekeeping?
I mean, kind of, right? Like, I think there are people that come and bring them food, you know, so maybe cake. A little bit. And cake.
Lots of cake.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have any predictions? First of all, I'm pretty sure they tried to cliffhanger us in terms of like, will they figure out that I'm pretty sure they're not going to figure out this, but I'm pretty sure they're going to get the extra money. So, you know, unless you guys disagree with me on that one, I don't think we have to make a huge prediction there. But here's what we should predict. Who is going to be the next top influencer? And who's going to be the next blocked? What do we think?
Top influencer. Frank will still be top two, right? Like, people still like him a lot. But will he be the number one still? I don't know. Did you feel good about Yu Ling going up there, or not that high up?
I don't think Yu Ling will go high up yet, which is where I think I want her to be in terms of the long term game. Uh-huh. I think that what we should consider is that anybody that voted for Jared, aka right now Frank and Alyssa, might get some. Although it might be weird. In some ways, it's like, oh, you did a great job. You figured it out. And on the other hand, it's like, oh, you almost cost us 50K.
Oh, that's
and yes, you're smart. Plus the fact that, you know, you probably have people like Carol now voting Alyssa and Krissa low. So I would count out Alyssa and Krissa both, because, you know, for a fact, Carol's going to put them both at the bottom, I would assume. So let's see.
Maybe it's Brew's time to shine.
Maybe it's Brew. Maybe because people might put Frank a little lower just to be strategic.
Because the power does shift. Yeah, 100%. Like, people start to, you know, as the season goes on, people that are at the top start to go a little bit lower, and then the people in the middle make their way up to the... It just, you know, it rotates around until people get to the end, and then it's just a completely random, you know, selection. This is the fun of the show.
I'm gonna call Brew.
So I'll go with Yu Ling. If you think about, if we're saying Alyssa, Krissa, and John have all been targeting each other, so they'll all vote each other down, then it only leaves Brew and Yu Ling. So I'll go Yu Ling.
Yeah, and I could see that. I don't think it would be great for her game at this point, but I do think that if Carol feels best about Yu Ling at this point, that could be big for her. And then even just like neutral from the rest, wouldn't be the worst. It's always like not super consistent. I feel like Nathan and Rachel will be rating, but they cannot be rated. So that could influence things as well. But, we'll see. And then who do we think is going to be blocked? If Brew or Yu Ling are the influencer, and or influencers, because they did say that there was going to be one of those like singular blockings, right? Who do we think they block?
I think Chris is in trouble. Because if those two are safe and Frank is not in power and Frank is already an influencer or already has been, and they know if they know that those two are close, I think there could be a world where they take Chris away from Frank. Plus, because it just felt so, not to be edgy, but it just felt so like, why did Alyssa tell us that she's threatened by Krissa if she wasn't going to maybe eventually get her way and get Krissa out? I don't know.
Didn't Brew like Krissa? Because they were kind of both jocks.
Yeah, yeah. He did say that he thought...
So maybe not right away. I don't know. The whole point when she...
I think Carol.
Think it could be Carol? Carol? Yeah, Carol's... Go ahead.
People continue to lean on the fact that I suspect she's a catfish, that things don't make sense. She's been called out a couple of times. Everyone's looking for a target. She might just be the name that's out there, but unfortunately then just has to be sacrificed.
Yeah, I think the only reason... I think it might not be Carol is to be a little edgy. Carol just feels like they've got like main character energy right now. I feel like we've seen so much of Carol that it feels like it would be a little early to lose Carol. But we've also, I mean, a lot of what we've seen recently has been a little bit negative in the sense that like they might get caught soon. So I don't know. We'll see.
I feel like we're due for a real, you know, quote unquote, real person to go next, because we already lost a catfish. Now we're about to lose another fake catfish in the Spice Girls. And then, you know, if we lost another catfish after that, I feel like that would be not exactly what they're looking for. And I don't know, but a lot of, you know, again, quote unquote, real people in there still.
All right. Winner picks. Who's going to win the whole thing? Amy, do you have a winner pick?
My winner pick is Alyssa, and that is an edgy choice. I think the way she's playing is very, very smart. She's quite under the radar. I think she's got pretty good connections and is quite proactive about reaching out and making connections in a way that some of the other players are maybe a little bit more passive. So I'd go with Alyssa.
I liked what Taryn said earlier, and it's going to just kind of be a head and a heart pick, and I'm going to go with Yuling. I can see that path for her. I can see her, you know, growing as somebody that people really like, and maybe even a bit of a growth story as she started off quiet and, you know, not being the most open and then really opened up. And that's her path to the end. I would love to see it.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to then, because obviously I've sort of given mine away with Yuling. I'm going to give a different answer though, just to give us some variety. I'm going to say that I think Rachel could be in there with a chance. If Rachel is able to get through the next, you know, round or so, you know, the people that come in second, they sometimes have a lot of longevity. You know, technically Jared was second, but I don't think that really counts. And I feel like we've seen a decent amount from her. I also feel like she's got like again like the right spot right now, where I'm always looking for the people that are like near the bottom. But, you know, if they don't get blocked, make it to the end, that's kind of where you want to be. So we'll see. We'll see where things go.
Or the person is not even in the house yet in the circle.
Very possible. Very possible. Okay, that's so as you true. Said, yeah, James was introduced, I think, in episode 6 last season. Right, so we're not there yet. All right. Anything else?
Trevor could win.
Trevor. Okay, let's talk about Trevor. So Trevor is going to be this isn't the next time on. So I apologize if you don't watch the next time on, then this might be considered minor spoilers. But in the next time on, we saw Trevor, who is Delisa, who won season 2, her husband.
Now, I saw that they may not still be together. I'm not 100% sure on that, but there was a chance that maybe they weren't. So whether they are or not, we'll find out, I'm sure, when he is introduced to see, you know, how he ended up here, where things have gone for him since he, you know, in air quotes, won the circle when it was actually Delisa. But yes, we know this person by face, and now we're about to know them a little bit more.
Yes. So this is, I believe, the first instance of a catfish profile coming to play in real life, I assume as himself, or is he now going to be catfishing
as Lisa?
Lisa?
The clip says, here I am, here comes my queen, I think, and he comes dressed in drag, doesn't he?
Oh boy, so maybe he will be Delisa.
He's catfishing as Delisa. Why would you want to do that? Because she
as
won.
As a previous winner, yeah.
What a story.
It would be funny. I also feel like, I mean, surely they'd see right through it, right? Or maybe they wouldn't. Maybe they'd be like, no, because if it was Delisa, you'd have her come back to catfish as somebody else, right? Like, you wouldn't have Delisa playing herself.
Yeah, that would be worthwhile, yeah.
It's very confusing. I'm quite confused, but
it's fun. This is the sort of weird twist to throw in. It's weird that that he's coming in like the third, like the second batch of episodes, and wasn't one of the originals here. I guess maybe they were so focused on the Spice Girls thing, maybe they didn't want to stunt cast conflict there.
Yeah, for the fans that stick around enough for the second batch of episodes, they'll get enough out of knowing who Trevor is, if they remember.
His name's not actually Trevor, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember if it was a fake name or if it was the real name. Either way, that
is your name
fun.
Actually Taryn?
I don't know. Let's find out. Is somebody catfishing as me on this podcast?
Maybe.
All right. Anything else from these episodes to talk about?
Yeah, nothing. It's been fun so far. Four good episodes. I think this one started off a little stronger than last season, from what I remember. But that's just me. That's just my opinion. And still, three more weeks to go. It's always very quick. And then I'm sure there'll be a new Circle season, you know, a couple months down the road. But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where things go. Amy, any final thoughts?
I just really, really enjoy this season. I think it's a great cast. I think the twists are interesting. As I said, I feel for me that the Circle is really hitting its stride at the moment. There's no boring bits. It's just fun and light, and you can kind of just consume it all at once. It's family friendly, which is important to me because I watch it with kids, even though there are some curse words. It's still, just great entertainment. And so I'm really enjoying it, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the next half of the season brings.
Awesome. Well, that's what we've got then for the first four episodes of The Circle. Again, I apologize for the lateness of this podcast, we should have the next four episodes covered this weekend, probably on Saturday, as we are looking to get the rest of the season in here. So make sure you check that out. Make sure you also check out my memoir. A life of podcasting. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn, or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, hanging out, watching shows with all of you. There's Big Brother Canada 10 postseason coverage coming as well. Hopefully we'll get some deep dives, some postseason interviews, and then of course the wrap up roundtable, which will take place at some point in the future. You can keep updated over again on Twitter. Survivor will keep rolling with the Survivor Stock Watch will come this week. We'll do a double feature for the Survivor Stock Watch, having missed last week, talk about last week and this upcoming week's Survivor in the Stock Watch. So check that out as well. Amy, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Survivor Tragic. I recently did a podcast on Nothing But Netflix with Rob and Chappelle about season four. I seem to like season fours of Drive to Survive. So that will be in the newsfeed as well if you're interested in following that.
Awesome. And Matt?
On Twitter, at Matt Liguori. The Challenge All-Stars is back tomorrow. The Challenge All-Stars, as of today. It's back on Wednesday, May 11th. So that episode will be streaming on Paramount+, episode one of this new season of All-Stars 3. Scally and I will be over on the Dom and Colin podcast, covering every episode each week. I believe we will have Asia with us for the first episode. So very excited to get that season underway and do some more All-Stars. So check that out. And yeah, that's it for now.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here today. And we will see all of you next time.